I think, Dieterling said, that we should take the gentleman at his word. Right, Tanner?
Let's just say we both touched a nerve, I said, after a long, hard silence.
Yeah, Vasquez said, I like that. Me and Mirabel were hair-trigger guys, and we gotta have some respect for each other's sensibilities. Copacetic. So let's go drink some pisco sours while we wait for Rivage to make a move.
I don't want to get too far from the bridge.
That won't be a problem.
Vasquez cleared a path before us, pushing through the evening strollers with insouciant ease. Accordion music ground out of the lowest floor of one of the freight pod buildings, slow and stately as a dirge. There were couples out walking, locals rather than aristocrats, for the most part, but dressed as well as their means allowed. Genuinely at ease, good-looking young people with smiles on their faces as they looked for somewhere to eat or gamble or listen to music. The war had probably touched their lives in some tangible way. They might have lost friends or loved ones. But Nueva Valparaiso was sufficiently far from the killing fronts that the war did not have to be uppermost in their thoughts. It was hard not to envy them, hard not to wish that Dieterling and I could walk into a bar and drink ourselves into oblivion, forgetting the clockwork gun, forgetting Rivage, forgetting the reason I had come to the bridge. There were, of course, other people out tonight. There were soldiers on furlough, dressed in civilian clothes, but instantly recognizable, with their aggressively cropped hair, galvanically boosted muscles, color-shifting camelioflage tattoos on their arms, and the odd asymmetric way their faces were tanned, with a patch of pale flesh around one eye, where they normally peered through a helmet-mounted targeting monocle. There were soldiers from all sides in the conflict, mingling more or less freely, kept out of trouble by wandering DMZ militia. The militia were the only agency allowed to carry weapons within the DMZ, and they brandished their guns in starched white gloves. They weren't going to touch Vasquez, and even if we hadn't been walking with him, they wouldn't have bothered Dieterling and me. We might have looked like guerrillas stuffed into suits, but it would be hard to mistake us for active soldiers. We both looked too old for a start, both of us pushing middle age. On Sky's Edge, that meant essentially what it had meant for most of human history. 2 to 3 score years. Not much for half a human life. Dieterling and I had both kept in shape, but not to the extent that would have marked us as active soldiers. Soldier musculature never looked exactly human to begin with, but it had definitely become more extreme since I was a white eye. Back then you could just about argue that you needed boosted muscles to carry around your weapons. The equipment had improved since then, but the soldiers on the street tonight had bodies that looked as if they had been sketched in by a cartoonist with an eye for absurd exaggeration. In the field the effect would be heightened by the lightweight weapons which were now in vogue, all those muscles to carry guns a child could have held.
"In here," Vasquez said.
His place was one of the structures festering around the base of the bridge itself. He steered us into a short dark alley and through an unmarked door flanked by snake holograms. The room inside was an industrial-scale kitchen filled with billowing steam. I squinted and wiped perspiration from my face, ducking under an array of vicious cooking utensils. I wondered if Vasquez had ever used them in any extra culinary activities. I whispered to Dieterling, "Why is he so touchy about being called Red Hand anyway?"
"It's a long story," Dieterling said. "And it isn't just the hand."
Now and then a bare-chested cook would emerge from the steam on some errand, face half-concealed behind a plastic breathing mask. Vasquez